Next on BYUSN, spring ball's in the books. What were our top takeaways from the Cougar camp? I go one-on-one with offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. Which quarterback has the edge and which position group needs some bolstering from the transfer portal?
Plus, we're going to hear from BYU punter Ryan Rico and linebacker A.J. Bongpichong on their recent Big 12 Pro Day experience. And with North Carolina State making the Final Four, does that make the Wolfpack BYU's best win of the season?
Thurl Bailey, eat your heart out. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, April 1st. I am Jerem Jordan, alongside the biggest proponent of April Fools that I know, Dave McCann.
It's like April Fool's Day with the weather, only it's all very real. Is that snows climbing
spring,
down
man.
Y Mountain? Tomorrow's supposed to be 67 and sunny. It's like, you know, you get whiplash here. But, you know, if you could look at an April Fool's moment in BYU lore and have it be just that and not real, what would it be?
I don't like 54-10 in 20. I've forgotten the year because I've forgotten the game. It was so bad. Last year, I think about the Oklahoma game and the 100-yard pick six.
Yeah.
That was a tough one because you're going to win that game, I think, and get to a bowl game. That changes the entire narrative of the season.
I'm going back to 2016. Kalani's taking the boys up to the U. His first game as BYU's coach at Utah. Not first game of the season, but first game in the rivalry. Taysom's at the 2-yard line. They're going for two to win the game, and he gets tackled at the one. There were so many things that went wrong with that play to keep it from being successful, and then the game ends there.
Rough.
I wish that was an April Fool's joke because that one still stings.
Yeah, that one was tough. I mean, you go back to 2011, you watch Utah go to a Power 5, BYU goes independent. That was like, wait, what? We'll do the best we can with what we've got, but hey, we were patient, we waited, and now BYU's in the Big 12, and it has been fun so far. Hopefully this next year in football is even better than last year. With that in mind, I'll rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. What's Trending is presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Okay, Saturday, BYU football wrapped up spring practices, 15 in the books. Head coach Kalani Sitake spoke to the media about his thoughts, especially about how physical the camp was.
Happy with the team, the camaraderie, the connection that they're having with each other. And I think if they can go into this offseason conditioning like they did during the January and February, I feel really good about where we'll be by the time we start camp in August. There's always scares that happen, and there's some guys that got banged up that I wish didn't happen, but I don't know any other way to get better at football than to go live. I mean, we put the quarterbacks live quite a bit too, and if we're gonna do what we want to do with our quarterbacks, we have to. That's just the game.
So, Dave, what are some of your top takeaways? What'd you learn from BYU spring football?
Probably the biggest takeaway is how fast it went. And there was a diversion with basketball in the Big Dance to where it was like Saturday it was it and it was over. It's like, well, what happened? It went by so fast where in years past it's every day, all the time. So that was a little different for us this time around. I like the vibe there. But it's all about the quarterbacks at BYU.
Yeah.
And I thought the most important thing, and you talked with Aaron about it, which we'll hear in a few minutes. The most important thing to me was when he came out and said, we will not be adding another quarterback from the portal, which means we're good with these two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then the battle is between these two guys, between now and Southern Illinois. And had that been, you know what, we're going to still go out and find a quarterback, that would tell you that they weren't happy with these
two. That
would
have been a wild statement.
So that was probably the biggest thing that I was looking for Saturday. When I heard it, I'm like, okay.
That's
their guy.
These.
One of them's their guy.
Yeah, Jake and Gary. I've never walked out of spring practice and been like, I know exactly what's going to happen this fall.
Right.
It is full of guys who are sitting out due to injuries from last season. And, you know, you guys have guys in boots. You have guys in slings, some of which are big pieces, right? You don't have all the guys you signed, per se. You have some mid-year enrollees, but not a ton. So, yeah, I'm with you. The quarterback battle's on. I wonder who would start today if BYU had a game. I would think, based on the rhetoric from Aaron Roderick, that it's Jake Retzlaff, given that he knows the playbook more. Both are going to be used. I promise you both are going to start a game this year. That's just how it goes, right? There's either injuries or ineptitude. I doubt that BYU has one guy who's awesome all year. Some stuff happens. But other thoughts. Jack Kelly is going to be a dude at linebacker. Weber State transfer. One of the last, if not the last, kind of guy from Weber State that's going to come down from the Jay Hill era up there. Killing it on the field, in the weight room. He is going to, I think, start and be a nice tandem there with Ben Bywater.
And this isn't
going to be awesome.
This isn't just one guy saying that. This is everybody, when you bring up this guy's name, they've got something good to say about it.
Yes.
And then you're going, okay.
Yep.
Then he must be.
Probably tomorrow you hear my conversation with Jay Hill about Jack. Keanu Hill, that experiment is working at tight end. No longer really an experiment. It is what it is. He's going to be good there. And Aaron Roderick, you'll hear that later, as mentioned. I asked him a little bit about his ability to block as well. He's not just a pass-catching tight end. Right. He can play in line, which is nice. Because now when you throw him out there, you're not like, okay, it's a pass. you can disguise some things. The O-line does need one to two dudes in the portal. That much said by Aaron Roderick. So that's interesting. I don't know that that's necessarily to come in and start right away, although that's what you want. You want a guy that's going to compete. But they just need another one or two bodies there. They like the running backs, which is really interesting to me. I'm surprised that for not a third year in a row, they're not going to bring one in. They like L.J. Martin and Hinkley Ropati, they call him Folau, and Miles Davis. And given the experience, you know, these guys aren't like super experienced. Miles Davis has played 19 games, but he's not been like the number one or two yet. L.J. was the number one last year, got kind of banged up at the end of the year. And then Hinkley Ropati had an ACL tear where he didn't participate. They're going to run with these three. They're ready to go.
I feel like they're going to shop and add another one.
Mm.
Just in what Aaron said, when he said, we have some guys coming in. They're going to help us right away. He didn't say who. The portal doesn't open until April 16th.
Was he referring to running back specifically?
No, just in general.
Okay.
And so then I'm thinking of areas that that you've got to be really, really good in. And they spent so much time with the offensive line in the running game in spring that that it feels like, if possible, that's going to be on their wish list of, hey, if there's a veteran runner out there that has a year left, like an A.J. Robbins or even a Chris Brooks, I think I wouldn't be surprised if they add to that spot. They don't need to add receivers. They don't need to add tight ends. They need linemen, as mentioned.
Yeah.
And I think then they're not going to add quarterbacks. So when you talk about we're getting some guys that are going to help, well, what group are we talking about? I kind of feel like the running backs would be one of them.
I wonder because, and you hear what Aaron said regarding that coming up later as well. A lot of teasing for the interview. It's the greatest interview ever. I wonder what they need. Cody Hagan is a guy coming off a mission who could be an immediate impact guy, although I'm not too big on guy off a mission make an impact. Your body needs
hardly
time.
Ever works out.
Yeah, Cody's a special player. He's going to be another like Chase Roberts type guy, another Dax Milne type guy at BYU. But I don't really, like even Colin Chandler, I'm not like, hey, you got to average 15 a game off a mission. Like Tyler Haas was exceptional. He's the only guy, maybe Kyle Collinsworth, who came off a mission where I was like, whoa, you were starter impact guy right away. So we'll see. And then the other thing is safety depth is kind of TBD. In that Jay Hill conversation, he said, hey, we have a lot of guys that I know we can win with. But, like, who is the guy at strong safety and free safety? We'll see what they add in the portal. They certainly feel good about the continuity of bringing a lot of guys back. In fact, the men's basketball kind of principle was mentioned by Aaron. And so what can you do with the same guys? Just because you have them back, though, doesn't mean they're good. Like a crappy team in college football that brings back all its starters is probably still going to be crappy. I'm not referring to BYU. Right. I'm just saying the general idea. But can BYU, coming off 5-7, where they learned certain lessons, they're in the Big 12 finally, can they put it together in certain spots? They made a couple of changes at positions where they felt like they needed more accountability. TJ Woods done a nice job by all indications from players and coaches.
The linemen love him.
And the linemen love him, so let's go. Can the tight end group be a little more expansive? You lose Isaac Rex, but you move Keanu Hill over. Reiner Swanson's a big name.
And will you reintroduce the tight end to the middle of the field? And it hasn't been there for a while. Keanu Hill says, yeah, I'm the answer.
I'm the guy.
I'm the answer to that over the middle.
Yeah.
I like the attitude You know, everyone comes out of spring feeling pretty good. But
yeah.
there needed to be an attitude adjustment for year two in the Big 12 because they lost the last five games. And they got physically beaten up in several of them. Isaiah Banya, I thought of him as you were talking about guys coming back. Mm-hmm. Can they be better than they were last year?
Yeah.
And in my interview with him, I was really impressed. He's changed his body. He's changed his attitude. Him saying, I've changed my body. I had to change my attitude. I'm all in here in my second year of Jay Hill's defense, and we're ready to go. That's what you want to hear from a 6'3", 235-pound rush end slash hybrid linebacker. And so I circle him and I go, well, he's a portal guy coming back. And if he in the basketball mold, if he can elevate his game to that spot, well, that answers a whole lot of getting to the quarterback,
yeah.
and stopping the run, two areas that were addressed during camp. So, I like the vibe of, you know, you can't win games on vibe, but you can go into the offseason with an attitude that's going to make you bigger, stronger, faster coming back to camp. And wasn't that the three things that Kalani said at the end of the season? We got to get bigger, stronger, faster. And every other pundit in regards
Always.
To BYU as a
yeah.
P5.
Yeah.
And so it feels like that's what the direction they're going, which is the direction they absolutely have to go.
Tui Saili is a big signee among the junior college ranks, who is big as pun intended. This dude's like 350. He is a massive D tackle. Can't wait to see him in action. Saw him in spring a little bit. Did a nice job. I'm just wondering if he's going to be a three down lineman or just a run stopper to get you to third and long to where Isaiah Banya, Tyler Batty, and the boys can get after it. So we'll see. Our question of the day is this: what's your biggest takeaway from BYU football spring practices? Brendan Smith on X. Jay Hill is as advertised once again. This defense is going to be elite very soon. These recruits, together with this coaching, is going to make some waves in the Big 12. You certainly hope that year two is a big jump from year one, Dave, and this defense can get a little more complicated as they have a little more experience in that playbook.
You figure it has to, right? Jay Hill's too good of a coach for it not to. And Jay Hill inherited everything he had last year. For the most part, a couple of guys came down and joined him from Weber State, Eddie Heckard and Garrett. But these are guys, hey, you're the defensive coordinator, and here are your guys. Well, now he's had some time to go get some of his guys, or at least guys he feels would
yes.
fit his spot.
Totally.
And Blaine has talked about right from the start that the advancements he believes on the defensive side of the ball are going to be significant in how BYU stacks up in the Big 12. It goes back to Hill, but maybe it goes back to Hill's second year
yeah.
with some of Hill's guys, and then the other guys going, oh, this is how he does it. If I want to play, I'm going to need to do it like he wants me to do it.
And last year was a combination of, hey, oh my gosh, we're in the Big 12, and we need to win now, and we have a new defensive staff. There were some, a lot of portal guys, and it took a minute for BYU to kind of figure that out. But they had a nice start, right? 5-2, 4-1, and then the last five games maybe ran out of juice there and the offense couldn't get the run game going. The hope is you have kind of a normal-ish run game. Hopefully it's good, but even if it's just kind of okay, that's a significant improvement, and that gets you maybe a game better. You go to a bowl game, you continue to build from there. Hopefully it's better than that, but you got to at least make a bowl game. That's the early expectation, of course.
And you get a little deeper. I mean, think about the three big losses for that defense last year. John Nelson up front, Ben Bywater in the middle, and then the safeties in the back.
Yeah. Which there were like three or four guys that went out.
And despite all of that, they had Oklahoma State beat on their home floor up 24-6. They had Oklahoma, I really felt, on the ropes at their own stadium week before.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the difference between 5-7 and 7-5. And the whole different offseason conversation.
Yep.
So, take care of the ball and fix a couple of those things. But health and depth are such important things. We knew it was anyway,
yep.
and then it was showed to us.
Even tougher in the Big 12. Yeah. And the backstretch of the season, you're playing some of the top five teams, four of the top five down the stretch.
So what do they do? They had depth at the line, they had depth at linebacker, they had a depth in the secondary, and a second year in the program for the defensive philosophy. And you're like, well, that's how you address that. Now we're really excited to go see him play.
Now go execute him. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
If you missed any of our coverage, by the way, of BYU's Big 12 Pro Day, you can find those interviews on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel. Max Tooley, Aiden Robbins, Isaac Rex. There are a whole bunch of them. They're all right there.
We don't have time to air all of them, so go there if you want to watch every single one. After the break, my conversation with offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick, which I teased like four times.
I can't wait to hear it.
At quarterback, and what are the Cougars' transfer portal needs? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by
BYU
Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
It's your time. I'll be playing the games like I know I'm going to win.
Welcome back to Studio B. Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann with you on BYU Sports Nation, your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play. Saturday after practice, I spoke with offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick about how it went and what the portal needs are and the quarterback situations, running backs, O-line, wide receivers, how to, all of it. Here it is. All right, Aaron, spring ball's over. How'd it go for you?
It was good. I thought we made a lot of progress this spring. A lot of things to work on. We've still got a long way to go, but we definitely got better.
How would you quantify that improvement?
Well, just the physicality I thought was good. You know, we saw some real development in some of our young offensive linemen, tight ends, young running backs. Just you can see a daily improvement in those guys. And it was a pretty physical spring, but it was necessary.
You've been doing this a long time. Now that you had 1 year in the Big 12, how did the approach maybe adjust, if it did at all, going into year two now?
The approach doesn't change that much. You know, I experienced this with Kalani and Jay and at Utah when we went from Mountain West to the Pac-12. There's a learning curve there for sure, you know, and I think you just have to take the lessons you learn in those tough losses and those tough games. And then this year, you know, those things are going to carry over. I think they're going to do us some good. And, you know, you have to learn to put the game that you played on Saturday behind you, win or lose, and be ready for the next one because it's going to be a tough battle every week.
How did last year affect your preparation for this spring ball, given struggles in the run game, yet effectiveness in certain areas?
Yeah, it definitely, you know, the struggles we had in the run game last year, that was number one priority of this spring, was get back to running the football the way we have in the past. And we were a very good running team, you know, 3-4 years in a row. Last year we took a step backwards. And so the number one priority this spring was to be able to get our run game going, because play action pass is where our big plays come from. And so that's what we've been working on all spring.
You kept the continuity of the returning group, didn't really add to it. What do you love about that group to the point where, hey, we feel like we've got the guys here already?
Well, I think continuity is huge, and you look at, we won 29 games in 3 years with basically the same group of guys. We had a little bit of turnover each year, but very little, you know, and it was, we had Jaron and Zach who had been in the offense for years. We had offensive linemen that had been in the offense for years. We had a group of receivers that had been around a long time, and I think that's an advantage we have this year, is everybody's back pretty much, you know, and so they've all played, they all know what we're doing. And that chemistry that develops in time playing together is huge. And I think our basketball team had that this year. You know, it was basically the same group of guys for the most part that struggled a little bit a year ago, and then this year they had a great year. And I think there's no substitute for playing together.
And that doesn't automatically equate to success per se, but what are you seeing from the guys that makes you encouraged that, like basketball, you could have a leap forward?
Well, you just see it happens in little ways, little things, you know, just might be a route we're running and where the quarterback and the receiver are on the same page and the ball's out before he breaks and it hits him right in stride, where maybe in a game last year we were just 6 inches off, you know, and, you know, now a few months later you've got more reps under your belt at that play, and then you see it work in practice and you just have more confidence, okay, that particular thing is going to work in a real game next year. And there's dozens of examples of little things like that that happen every day that only happen by just playing together, just repetition.
At running back specifically, is there a specific pecking order at this point? Like, is LJ RB1, and then is there an RB2?
Folau's had a really good spring. Hinkley, Rapati, and Miles has had a good spring. So I don't know if I wouldn't really call it a pecking order, but they're all going to play. And they're all going to be part of what we do. We like all those guys, and you're going to see a lot of them.
Any separation among the two competing starting quarterbacks?
I thought it was a good battle. It's going to keep going. And they both did a lot of good things. You know, in Gary's case, he's a very experienced player, really smart guy. He's still learning the offense. I mean, he knows it, but doesn't have it completely sunk in yet, like a guy who, like, you know, Jake's been here over a year. So Jake has a little less experience, but he knows our offense a little better. And that's really the main difference between the two guys right now. Skill set wise, they're pretty similar. You know, they're both really good athletes, good throwers, smart guys, good leaders, and good chance we're going to need both of them.
That's how college football is nowadays, and that's how it goes. Any differentiation in terms of what you'll look at exactly in fall camp as to who's going to get at least the initial start?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. It's just whoever takes care of the football and moves the team the best. You know, you can play very conservatively and take care of the ball, but not really go anywhere with it. Or, you know, we also don't want to be just so aggressive that we're putting the ball on the ground or throwing it to the other team. So we got to, whichever guy can find that best balance of taking care of the football but still moving the team and scoring points, that's what we're looking for. Whoever does that the best will be our starter.
Did one of the two do that better in spring in your mind?
Well, it's not enough. I don't think it's a big enough body of work to make that determination yet. But I will say, Jake, first time in my career I've seen a quarterback go 15 practices of spring ball without an interception. And that was the number one goal for him in spring, was to take care of the ball. You know, he did some really good things last year, and you know, it's been talked about. He had some critical turnovers that were costly. And so we challenged him this spring to take care of the ball, and zero picks in 15 practices is really good.
And he was aggressive enough down the field?
Yeah, no, we're still running our offense. In fact, if anything, you're more aggressive in practice than you are in a game, because you can try things. You know, you can. There's no consequences if you make a mistake or if something doesn't work. You know,
you wouldn't bring up the stat though. That'd be the consequence, right?
Yeah. But he, just one part of the equation. Yeah. But I was proud of him for that, just because that was something he needed to work on.
O-line, obviously a group that you want to see take a step forward. How has T.J. Woods and that group shown you something this spring?
T.J.'s an excellent coach. I'm really glad to have him here. Saw some really good development in that group. And, again, we have some returning players there that are going to be critical to our success next year. Braden Keim, you know, we're getting him back. Connor Pay, Waylon, Caleb at the end made a huge improvement this spring. Really, really happy with the direction he's going. So just got to keep going, though. You know, I think all of us got a little bit humbled last year. You know, we'd had a lot of success running the ball for a few years, and then last year it was a struggle. And so I think the key is just keeping our edge, you know, and our determination to get back to what we used to be there.
Kingsley's going to be drafted. That'll be three straight left tackles from BYU. That's a big deal. The only other position I would argue is more impressive would be quarterback, which you put two in the league, and hopefully Keaton gets a good chance here. What does that say about the program, having three left tackle starters in a row get drafted?
It says that this is a good place to play left tackle. You know, I mean, I think for us, that's huge in recruiting, to be able to tell our guys, you know, tell our recruits that our offensive linemen get drafted, and we'll have more. There's more guys on our team right now that I believe will be drafted in the next couple years.
Keanu Hill at tight end, how's that been showing so far?
It's going well. He's a tight end. He fits. You know, he doesn't have to battle his weight anymore. He's been 3-4 years now just battling to stay below 230, you know, and now he doesn't have to fight it. He's 240, 245, and looks really good. He's running as well as ever. He's a difficult matchup as a receiver at tight end, and he's a good blocker. He's done a nice job. I would say he blocks as well as any tight end we have.
So you can keep him in line at times and disguise him?
Yeah, he'll be all over the field. He'll be hand on the ground on the end of the line of scrimmage. He'll be in a wing. He'll be split out. He's going to be all over the field.
Sometimes, especially in spring for early enrollees, coaches don't want to talk about freshmen, but you guys have been outspoken about Reiner Swanson. Is he going to get a lot of playing time this fall?
I expect him to play. I don't want to try to speculate how much, but I think he'll play for us this fall, yes.
How are the wide receivers looking?
Good. That group, that's another one where those guys really had their moments last year, and then there were some moments of youth, first-time experiences in a tough conference against really good defenses, and all of those guys, I think, are going to take a huge leap forward this year. It just reminds me of That group we had back that played with Zach and Jaron, basically, you know, it felt like the same group of guys for like 3 years, but I'll forget somebody if I start naming them, but the way those guys all got better each year and then the way we were operating at a really high level, you know, Zach's last year and Jaron's 2 years, I feel like we're heading in that direction with that group, you know, that this year they're going to be able to do line up in any position we need them to know the whole offense, to execute at a high level, to not be fazed by what defenses we're playing against. I think those things are, I think that's the direction we're heading.
Do you mix and match those guys among XYZ?
Yeah, and that's what's been one of our keys to our offense in the past is that those guys can move around, play different positions, line up all over the field, and basically do everything. And so we don't really have true slot receivers, true outside guys. They play all over the place. And I think we'll be more able to be multiple with those guys this year.
Do you want to add any specific positions out of the portal? Have you targeted that?
We're a little bit low at offensive line right now. I mean, we like the guys we have a lot. We're just we're a couple, you know, two or three guys less than we usually carry at that group. So, you know, we're not desperate, but if we find an offensive lineman or two, we'll consider it.
Aaron, thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Great to talk to you.
Aaron Roderick after practice on Saturday. Here's some of the rankings from BYU nationally. Obviously, points per game, points per possession, offensive TDs a game, yards per carry, yards per pass. Not good enough. 100-plus in four of those five, and I would argue that these are some of the most important metrics that exist. But, Dave, with a run game and a more, you know, another experienced quarterback, this time BYU has a starting quarterback who's been in the system at least a year. Keaton was getting into it. It's expected that BYU is going to be better. I don't know what that's going to look like numerically. We're hoping top 65, which would be in the upper half of college football. But let's see it when they roll it out this fall. They've got to be better if they're going to go to a bowl game.
You know, that Southern Illinois game is going to be interesting. You go back to last year, and it was Sam Houston, and BYU beat them 14-0. And it was like, well, okay, this and this and this.
First game, and this, it's, you know, not Portland State.
This time, yeah, it's got to be running for 250 yards and throwing for this and attacking.
You're going run 250 out of the gate.
I mean, there's something significant. Well, and you should be able to, quite frankly, if you're going
to. You'd like to think 200 on the run.
And so the judgment is not going to be, well, let's wait till Arkansas week three. For us, it would be SMU and Wyoming, who come super fast. It is hit the ground running, literally running, and the ability to do that and set that tone against Southern Illinois, I think will calm Cougar Nation down or fire them up with anxiety as to how that goes.
Despite the fact this is BYU and we love the pass game, it is we would rather see 250 rush than 250 pass.
Well, because
in game one especially, yeah, I think.
And if you're doing that, then all the other stuff gets to work.
Yeah,
which
absolutely
didn't work last.
BYU's explosiveness on offense is predicated upon play action passing. We saw that from Aaron Roderick in the interview.
And the history of time. Throughout
and last year, at one point when I looked at it, it was 5 yards per pass and play-action pass. It was terrible. BYU, when it was really good in 20 and 21, in parts 22, it was like 8 to 10. You got to be in that space, yards per attempt. So we'll see what BYU can muster this fall. Can't wait for it. We're in the offseason now officially with football.
It's going to be a fast summer.
Or post-spring offseason.
Yeah.
Portal opens up in 2 weeks from today, and so we'll keep an eye on that.
You guys are already singing your countdown days. Mm-hmm, it's going to be fast.
I don't know what it is today. I don't care. But
it's coming.
In the summer, we'll start to get to that.
Yeah. BYU softball back on the field Tuesday night over at Miller Park.
152.
I'll tell you what. 152.
They just told me.
BYU and Utah Tech tomorrow night, 7 Eastern, Big 12 Now, ESPN Plus. The weather's going to be better. That is a fun team to watch, and that grand slam finish, we'll show you a bit later from Friday night. It's just awesome sports.
They are the grand slammers right now. Coming up, was the November win against NC State in men's hoops actually the best win of the season? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
What do you guys talk about when there's no basketball and football? What we're talking about today, we got all kinds of things to talk about. Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jeremy. He's Dave. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU football's Ryan Rico, Max Tooley, A.J. Vongpichung, Jackson Cravens, Nasi Mahe, and Paul Miley all participated Saturday at the very first Big 12 Pro Media Day or Pro Days in Frisco, Texas. I heard it was a great success. The opening weekend of the UFL and Kai Nakua always making plays. The former Cougar, 11 tackles, a sack, 2 tackles for loss for the Michigan Panthers.
Hey, not bad, not bad. Good stuff with Michigan this year in football.
Yeah.
Number 7, men's volleyball swept Concordia in back-to-back nights to improve to 15-7 overall in the season, 6-4 in the MPSF. Third place Saturday night, emotional for the seniors who led the way. Capoto Brown, 13 kills. Gavin Julian, 5 blocks. John Stanley had 6 kills as BYU wrapped up its home schedule. They're at USC this week.
Shout out to Jared Brady. I saw him get an ace on your broadcast. Then he got engaged. So it was a great weekend.
You
for the
coached
Bradys.
Him and Jackson Fife and Cooper Jarman in Little League?
Just Jared, not the
just
other two.
Just Jared, gotcha.
And everything I coached
info.
Him, fortunately, he got out. He did just the opposite and turned into a great athlete.
That's cool.
After dropping game one of Friday's doubleheader over at Gale Miller Field against Houston, BYU softball bounced back in a huge way. In late night game that went forever. Ninth inning, they're down. Hunter Avas at the plate. Jason Shepard's on the call. Here it is.
1-1 pitch, and that ball crushed over the head, and it's a grand slam! Walk-off home run for Hunter Avas! The BYU Cougars win this game in walk-off grand slam fashion.
Listen to the score, 17-15. BYU beats Houston, they take the series 2-1, their first series win. In the Big 12, they're 20-13, 4-8 in the conference. Good news is all the conference teams go to the tournament. Just be hot that
unlike
week.
Baseball.
Hit the ball around, unlike baseball, and softball's got a shot.
Speaking of baseball, they dropped the final 2 games of the series to Kansas on Friday, 4-3, and then 8-5. Dave McCann on the call. Riker Herdsman led the Cougars, going 3-5 with 3 runs over those 2 games. Cougars now 11-14, 4-8 in Big 12 play.
Kansas was just better in all 3 games. Was a tough one.
Got him in basketball.
Yes.
Yeah. Men too.
Men's golf, 6th place of the Goodwin Invitational. After shooting 8 over par, Cougars led by top 25 finishers from both Peter Kim and Keanu Akina.
Track and field wrapped up a busy weekend, competing at 3 different meets across the country. Riley Chamberlain won the 1500 at the Stanford Invitational. Sierra Alphen took 2nd in the high jump at the Texas Relays. And 3 throwers won events at the UVU Invitational. Chase Clement won the javelin. Danny Bryant won the shot put. Gretchen Hoekstra won the women's distance.
By the way, the Kansas media that was here, they haven't gotten over that basketball game back there in Lawrence.
Nope.
Still very fresh. BYU men's swim finished competing at the NCAA Nationals with Brad Prolo competing in the 200 fly, Jordan Tiffany in the 100 free, Tiffany Diego, Camacho Salgado, Joshua Reed, and Luigi Riva taking 24th in the 400 free. Relay.
Women's tennis beat TCU 4-3 Saturday. Cougars are 14-4 overall, 6-3 in the Big 12. Men's tennis lost at home to number 27 Baylor 4-2. The Cougars 11-7, 0-4 in the Big 12.
Hey, congrats to BYU Rugby. They defeated Utah over the weekend 72-14.
That's
You're a
what's
rugby
up.
Expert. That's a big win.
That's a huge win. Always good to beat Utah. And my old roommate, Steve St. Pierre's head coach, doing work. One of his assistants, also my old roommate, Derek Smith. Shout out to the boys.
Nice job, guys.
They were great roommates. They're even better coaches. There you go. Those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it. Cougar Whip Around is presented by Marisk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Did BYU beating North Carolina State back in November in Vegas end up being their best win of the season now that the Wolfpack have reached the Final Four?
What an amazing run for them. 5 wins in 5 days in the ACC tournament, 4 wins in the NCAA tournament now. I mean, you could totally argue, yes. I still think beating Iowa State, who was a 2 seed, was the best win of the season at home. But I could see the argument for NC State. What a magical run.
Yeah, and they're the spice of the tournament now. You know, it's the Cinderellas out of the ACC. That doesn't seem as exciting as we've seen in the past.
They were not going to make the dance if they didn't win the ACC tournament. And now they're in the Final Four.
That's sweet. Good
Amazing.
Luck.
FAU posted that they would be playing South Florida today in football on an aircraft carrier in the Atlantic Ocean. Is this the best April Fool's joke you've seen so far today?
This is a good one. This is a good one. Look at it. Look at
aircraft carriers are not shaped like that.
Where did the Jets go? And how do you run a deep pass? Anyway,
just dive it
this
into
one's
the
catching
ocean.
A lot of action on social media.
Full disclosure, that got our production team earlier today as well.
Like, hey, we should talk about this. Like, well, what day is it? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Anybody know what day it is?
The Women's NCAA Tournament Elite Eight games in Portland.
Oh, gosh.
Your birthplace.
My home. Well, close.
3-point lines were different lengths. Texas yes. and NC State chose to play the game rather than delay to fix it. Look at this. What's going on with
what
your people?
What happened? Listen, Portland's got lots of issues. This is one of them. How about that? I do credit both teams by going, you know what? Let's just play. We're not going to wait. We can't, you know. But who noticed this? And guess what? They had played Sweet 16 games on this court and not noticed. So I don't know who noticed, but good for them. It's not like every church gym's 3-point line is probably the same.
But now
I don't trust those.
Now I'm starting to question it.
Now I'm going, tape measure out there. 19-9, what is it?
Come on, Portland.
Coming up, I got a lot of things with Portland. Coming up, continued coverage from Big 12 Football Pro Day with Spencer Linton as he talks to Ryan Rako, Boom Goes the Dynamite, and A.J. Vongpachan. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Sports Nation, Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann with you in Studio B. Well, Spencer Linton did a bunch of interviews from Big 12 Football Pro Days. You can check those out on our YouTube channel. Let's air a couple of those right now, the first of which is with my guy, the punter, Ryan Rako.
Ryan, how would you rate your Pro Day experience and your performance here in Frisco, Texas?
Experience, 10 out of 10 for sure. They put on a really good show for us, and it really did feel like a mini combine. Like, they did an amazing job. Performance, I'd say like an 8 or 9 out of, probably like an 8 out of 10. I feel like there's someone I want to have back, but for the most part, I'm really happy with the way I performed, and now it's like, okay, on to the next step.
What was the best thing you did today that pushes the rating up to an 8?
Ooh, I feel like I showed a lot of consistency with my directional punting, which is exactly what I wanted to do. People know I can kick it far, but they want to know I can put it in the right areas as well, and so that was definitely a focus, and I was glad I was able to show that today.
You mentioned you want some back. What exactly do you want back?
Oh, I want the two. We had two coming out of the end zone. I'm like, shoot, that's my bread and butter. Like, that's open field. Just rushed it a little bit. And, like, man, it's a stressful environment. Like, those are way harder than any game punts you have to hit. It's like all eyes are on you. You feel it a little bit, but it's a fun experience for sure.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. They're snapping the ball from the 3-yard line, right, in those instances?
Yeah.
You hit the 48 twice, so it's still it's still a 49-yard punt, Ryan.
Yes, for sure. It's like, that's where you hit the record. That's where you want to, like, unleash on some. So definitely stuff to learn from always, but it was a fun time.
You mentioned the nerves of an event like this, and it is kind of quiet, and there's a lot, I'm sure, running through your mind. So how do you handle that?
Yeah, I think I learned a lot from my experience from the combine because, believe it or not, it was even quieter there. So I think just going in with a mentality of like, this is fun. Like, this is what I do. This is what I have dreamt about for my whole life. And so, just being able to go out and compete is like, these guys are all great punters. I want to go show why I'm the best at what I do. And it's just a fun opportunity.
Of every event that you have performed at and worked out in front of scouts at, which do you feel like was the best and why?
Ooh, I'm really happy with the way I performed here. I would say the Shrine game as well. I feel like I had a really good showing. I got a punt run back on me in the game, so that wasn't the best. But I'd like to think that wouldn't happen again. But really, I feel like every step of the way, I was able to show something different, show that I was growing through the process as well, that I've gotten better since the season ended. And so really, I think there's a lot of great things to take from each of them.
Now, understandably, you've received a lot of good feedback and a lot of teams are interested in you. What have those conversations been like? And if you can shed some light, who has shown the most interest in you?
Yeah, it's tough, especially with free agency. Opportunities that you thought were going to be there, they're not going to be there by the time the draft comes. And so it's always just kind of a changing landscape. Those conversations are definitely interesting just because they want to know how you think about things. They want to know, okay, if there is a bad punt, are you going to be the guy pouting on the sideline, or are you going to be the guy that comes out and bounces back? They want to know how you deal with teammates, how you like to learn. And so it's just, I definitely didn't think a lot about it. And so it was kind of good for me to self-reflect, like, okay, this is how I deal with things, and this is how I learn best. This is how I try and lead. So it's kind of been a lot of give and take, I feel like, through that.
You're starting to pop up on some draft boards in late rounds. Mm-hmm. What's that experience like to see your name on those lists?
Yeah, I wish I wish I could say I knew like every one of those that there was, but it's one of those things where ultimately that's out of my control. I'm just going to be able to go out there, whatever team decides to take a chance on me, whether that's the draft, whether that's a free agent. I know that like what I do really well, and I want to keep showing that at the biggest stage that I possibly can.
What kind of feedback are you getting from scouts after they watch you perform?
Yeah, they're pretty tight-lipped. Like they kind of keep it close to the vest. So like they'll say, hey, good job. Like really, really like this or really like that. But nobody's ever going to come out and say like, hey, dude, we're taking you. Like, don't worry about it. You're going to have a stress-free draft day. So it's definitely, there's a lot of like unvalidated things where you're kind of just wondering, am I doing stuff right? Am I on the right track? So definitely, I feel like I got a lot mentally tougher through this process as well.
What's next for you between now and when the draft happens?
Yeah, so hopefully there will be some opportunities just for some individual workouts with teams. And that's kind of what these showcases or these combines are for, is a team says, okay, we liked what we saw. We like what we see on film. Like, let's actually go out and see him work just on a normal day-to-day practice. That's when they can really get a better feel for your personality, the way that you approach your craft. And so that's the goal now, is just trying to get as many of those as possible. Just be able to show teams like, I'm a guy that can be an asset in the locker room and on the field. And then just going for there, just waiting for the draft.
I know the versatility is the thing, and you are a great holder at BYU. You can do some other things. So how much does that factor into conversations and performance here?
Yes, that's honestly one of the first things that they ask is, do you hold? And so being able to say, like, yeah, I held for 4 years, I think that's for sure a strength. They want to know that you have good hands. So it's like, for me playing basketball growing up, thank you, Mom and Dad, for putting me in that. Like, that's definitely been a huge help. But then showing as well, like, hey, I can kick off, I can kick field goals if I need to. Those are some more things that if I get like an individual workout, I feel like I'd show more of. So it's just trying to sell yourself as much as you can and just show, hey, I can do whatever you need me to do.
What's your biggest selling point to an NFL team?
Oh, game is no different than practice. I feel like there's a lot of guys who can get some great stuff in practice or just in a workout. But I feel like I showed that over 4 years, like the game, I'm probably hitting bigger balls than I do in practice. And like, I live for those moments. Like, I love that feeling of being able to hit it and get the crowd going on what's going to be like a boring punt. So I feel like I can just be a huge asset and change the game in that way.
Ryan, congratulations again on a great performance. We wish you the best in all of your individual workouts and can't wait to watch you when the draft rolls around.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Ryan Rico with Spencer Saturday after his workout. A.J. Vonkpachan is a guy that transferred from Utah State, had another good season in his one-and-done year at BYU, trying to get some more film in the Big 12. Here's his conversation with A.J. Saturday as well.
A.J., the linebackers wrap up Pro Day at the Big 12 Combine, so you had to wait a while. What was it like waiting to finally compete?
Yeah, it was tough, honestly, especially seeing guy after guy after guy go and position group go. But, you know, it just took a lot of mental preparation. You know, you already did all the work physically. It was just staying locked in and staying, you know, just ready to go mentally.
Yeah, what were the nerves like as you progressed from that first event to where you're at the drills and wrapping things up?
Yeah, it was different. I mean, you think you're pretty good, and I feel like nerves don't really get to me, but especially the first couple events, you know, you feel it for sure, like, for whatever reason, especially after that 40, and, you know, it was super quiet during the 40 and stuff, but I think once the pro agility stuff, you know, I got a little bit better, and then once it came to the drills, I felt like I was just practicing, you know what I'm saying, normal stuff, so I felt good.
How would you rate your performance overall today?
Yeah, it's tough to say without hearing the numbers and stuff, but, you know, overall, as far as like movement and stuff, I felt pretty good, honestly, especially in the drill work. I felt like I was fluid and, you know, pretty good.
Well, I can tell you unofficially, we had some times high 4.7s, right around 4.8 on your 40. Where is that in relation to where you wanted to be?
Yeah, I wanted to be on the lower end of the 4.7s, but, you know, it is what it is. You can't go back, but, you know, I'll take them.
How much of that is the field? And because times have been slower here pretty much all week for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say, honestly. You know, I don't want to be that guy to make that excuse any day of the week. But, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day. And I'm just, you know, grateful to be out here at the end of the day.
You're going to look at this and critique yourself, you know, because that's what we do. Right. You know, we're really tough on ourselves. Right. But what, if you had to pick one specific event, where do you feel like, okay, I really excelled here?
Yeah, I mean, I think the pro agility in the short shuttle. I think it was good. It was tough. I think I slipped on one of them, had to just go back to back. And that was honestly the killer. You know, if you mess up, at first they said go back to the line, the end of the line. So I was like, okay. But then they're like, nah, just hop right back up. So you're a little tired, a little fatigued. But, you know, at the end of the day, I felt good. And I think I crushed the actual position work. So.
Okay, so safe to say maybe the slip is what you would want back in this instance?
For sure. No, most definitely.
What do you expect your life over the next few weeks to be like after this?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, honestly. I just been so focused on this day. I haven't really looked forward, but probably just get back into football shape, you know, not just, you know, pro day shape and just go from there.
What's different about that? I've heard a few people say that. What's the difference between pro day shape and football shape?
Yeah, I mean, you're just training the same drills over and over, almost like a sprinter. I mean, I didn't do track, but I assume that's some of the guys hearing say. And, yeah, I mean, you're not doing a ton of, you know, football specific, obviously for the drills, but it's not like every day, you know, when you're in the season. I mean, I'm not doing 5-10-5. I'm not doing the L drill, you know, so that's the main thing, honestly.
If you were to pitch yourself to any and all NFL teams, what would you say is the best thing that AJ Vonkbachan brings to the league?
Yeah, I would just say I'm a leader, and at the end of the day, I'm gonna go about my business like a pro at the end of the day, and that's the main thing I could say, because, you know, I've done that throughout my whole career since I was a freshman, and, you know, it's no different now. So,
what have the interviews been like for you? Maybe some of the more memorable or interesting conversations you've had down here?
Yeah, I mean, they've been good, and a lot of phone calls, you know, the different numbers. It's like, it's tough because, you know, you get a random number calling you. I don't know if it's a scam or it's a team. So, you know, that's been different for sure. A couple of times it's been a scam, a couple of times it's been a team. So it's been good. I mean, you know, they're asking all sorts of questions, football-related questions, non-football-related questions. So kind of just all over the place and just trying to see the type of guy you are at the end of the day.
What type of interest have you had before this event as you've thrown your name into the NFL draft?
Yeah, I feel like I had a good amount of interest just from the phone calls and interviews I've had previously here. So, I mean, that's the extent of them, just going through interviews and just trying to, you know, say as much knowledge as I got about the game to them and just the type of guy I am off the field.
What's it like to compete when your buddy Max Tooley is also right behind you and there are a couple of BYU guys in the linebacker room?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you know, it was actually easier him being here, you know, seeing a familiar face out there. So, you know, I thought that was great and, you know, I'm really excited for him.
What'd you think of the event overall? Because this is a different beast for sure compared to just like an individual school pro day.
It's tough. I mean, I would say the biggest thing is just the timing. You know, you don't know exactly when you're going to go, how much time you have warm up, because for the pro agility and the L drill, I didn't really have any time to warm up for those. You know, I originally had a plan, you know, get my touches in and then get to it, but since I was the first one and I didn't know what's the structure, you know, I had to go right into it, and you know, it is what it is. I feel like I did well.
We're roughly 4 weeks away from the NFL draft, maybe a little less than that. What do you anticipate your life will be like as you build up to the draft and then those phone calls start flooding in?
Right. Yeah, a little stressful probably, you know, like similar to this. Honestly, I didn't think I was gonna be too stressed, but as the moment I got closer, you feel a little bit more stressed, especially being the last one to go. But you know, just managing that stress, and at the end of the day, you know, whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen, you know, just, you know, let God handle it at the end of the day.
I know you have a lot of friends at Utah State and you're grateful for your time there coming to BYU as well. What did BYU do to help you get ready for an event like this?
I mean, the biggest thing I could say is just, you know, the staff there, the people there just do a really good job of creating a, you know, a big time environment, you know, on the field, off the field, you know, whether it's the games, whether it's the practices, you know, honestly everything. So, and this is a big time event, you know, and so I know if I was at BYU or in Provo, this would be no different in terms of how big you guys do it there. You know, I've never been, but from what I heard, for sure.
AJ, thanks for the time. Congratulations on getting through this.
Right. Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Thank you.
We would have had some official times in Provo, I'll tell you that. After the break, a rising shout out to BYU athletes and coaches bearing their testimony of Easter. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Question of the day is this: what's your biggest takeaway from BYU football spring practices? Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevators.
Farmer Hiram on Instagram. Well. Retzlaff threw no picks. Have we underrated him?
I don't know. I know Aaron was impressed by that spring ball. I'll be more impressed by no picks in the games. But you practice, you play like you practice, typically. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. He just needs to play and take care of the football, and then might command his future.
There you go. Today's Rise and Shout Out is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Cool stuff from BYU athletes and coaches who took to social media to share their testimonies of the resurrection, what Easter means to them. If you haven't seen that, go check it out on social media. That was pretty cool. And at the end of the day, that's what's most important. So it's awesome.
It's next level. It's like, this is why stuff. It's like, yeah. This is why these guys, men and women, are here. And yep. It's great that they speak out.
It's awesome. Our thanks to today's guests, Aaron Roderick, Ryan Rico, and AJ Bunk.
Conversation continues as it always does, 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. Maybe next time. For Dave, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Ryan Boyce. Go Cougs! There's still stuff going on in April, baby.
I can't believe it's April. Football's going to be here just really fast.